Good evening, and thank you for tuning in. This is Pastor James Murdoch of Here's Hope Church. This is a re-recording of the message that was shared on June 18th. We had some technical difficulties that evening, and the message was not recorded, and so we couldn't upload it on the website. And we wanted to make that available to you for those who are wanting to check the message out. So we're re-recording that this evening. This was our Father's Day message from Father's Day weekend. And it was week three of our End of Me series, Finding Hope at the End of Me. And this message is, you must be emptied to be filled. We're going to look at Acts 9 and Philippians 3 specifically. We began with a recap of the first 2 weeks of our series. Matthew 5:3 says, blessed or happy are the poor in spirit. The Message translation of that says, blessed are you when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there's more of God and His rule. Recap, also from last week, Matthew 5:4, we said, blessed or happy are those who mourn. The Message translation of that says, you're blessed when you feel you've lost what is most dear to you, because only then can you be embraced by the one most dear to you. Again, you're blessed when you feel you've lost what is most dear to you, because only then can you be embraced by the one most dear to you. Job experienced a blessing in the midst of great suffering and mourning. He knew God in the midst of his suffering in a way that he'd never known God before. Job said to God, in the midst of all his pain and loss, he said, my ears had heard of you before, but now my eyes have seen you. And he's saying, I knew about you, God, but now I really know you. Here's what we find. In our suffering, there's a deep void. There's a gap between how we think things should be, what our expectations are, and how they really are. And that thing, that space, used to be filled up with whatever it is, whatever we've lost. It could be possessions. It could be career or status. It could be a relationship or a person. When those things are gone, it leaves this aching emptiness, this cavity in us. And we have the opportunity to invite God into that space, and he fills us up with himself. When we suffer, when we mourn, we are comforted by God's presence. And so blessed are those who mourn. Last week, we also said we had three different big ideas from the message. And big idea number one last week was, when you lose what you want, you can gain what you need. There's a story recorded in Luke 15 that Jesus tells, and sometimes it's called the parable of the lost son or the prodigal son. This young man wanted to live a life that was self-indulgent, a life of partying and excess, and what he really needed was a healthy relationship with his father, and he didn't have that. And when he lost all these things that he thought that he wanted in his life, he finally gained what he really needed, which was a healthy relationship with his father. Then big idea number two from last week was that when you lose your dreams, you can gain God's vision for you. In Genesis, we read the story of Joseph. Out of jealousy, his brother sold him into slavery, and he was taken to a far-off land and ended up in prison for a crime that he didn't commit. And looking at that, it seems like he's probably come to the end of his dreams. He probably had a lot of dreams and expectations like most young men have. But God showed up in the midst of this loss of Joseph's dreams, and he moved Joseph into this position as a leader in the land of Egypt. And God used that position to save Joseph's people from starvation. Joseph had lost his dreams, but God gave Joseph his vision for who he wanted Joseph to be, and gave him true significance in his life, far beyond what Joseph could have ever imagined. Big idea number three from last week was that when you lose your perfection, you can gain God's grace. We talked about that sometimes what causes us to mourn is the result of our own sin. It's our own consequences that bring us into this place of suffering and loss. And we looked at King David, and we talked about how King David, even though he was a man after God's own heart, and he was the king chosen by God to rule over Israel, that he mourned over his sin after he committed adultery with Bathsheba. And after he was found guilty of the death of her husband Uriah, which we can read about in 2 Samuel 11 and 12, David was confronted with his sin, and he confessed it, and he mourned. He lost much of what he'd wanted and expected in his life. But when we lose what we want in life, when our dreams seem shattered, and when we come to a place where we are face to face with our sin, God can show up in that space where we're most weak, and he can give us his strength. God demonstrates his power to forgive and show his grace in the story of David. Today's message is you must be emptied to be filled. And we look at the example of the Apostle Paul. Before you can be filled by God, you first have to be emptied of you. Coming to the end of me, to the end of self, and being emptied of ourselves happens usually in two different ways. Either we're emptied or we choose to empty ourselves. Either life or circumstances do the emptying, or we choose to do it first. But in either case, there's an emptying of me, and when that happens, there can either be a filling up with the junk of this world or a filling up with God himself. God loves to move into our lives and into our hearts and fill up our emptiness. And when he does it perfectly. When everything that the world offers is gone, it leaves you in a place of being unsatisfied. Or maybe you never come to a place where you get what you want from the world to begin with. But God is waiting, just like he always has been. He's waiting to fill you with his Spirit, to change the course of your life, to give you a new identity, and to put you on mission for him and to send you out. In Acts, as the church grows, we read about a man named Saul, and he was systematically destroying Christians. He was doing everything he could in his power to stop these disciples of Jesus in their tracks. He had no idea that one day, while he was on his way to persecute some believers in a place called Damascus, that he would be emptied of everything that he thought was important, everything he'd been filling himself up with, and that he would encounter something so much better. This emptying of ourselves, this being filled by God, always begins with an encounter with Jesus. And that's our first big idea. Big idea number one is that getting to this place of being emptied and filled with Jesus always begins with an encounter with Christ. In Acts 9, verses 1 through 9, it tells the story of Saul encountering Jesus on the road to Damascus, where he's headed to persecute Christians. Starting in verse 1, it says, "Now Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest, and they asked for letters from him to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, any Christians, both men and women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he was traveling, it happened that as he was approaching Damascus, and suddenly there was a light from heaven, and it flashed around him, and he fell to the ground. And he heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up, enter the city, and it will be told to you what you must do.' And the men who traveled with him, they stood speechless, and they heard the voice, but they saw no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. And leading him by the hand, they brought him into Damascus, and he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank." Saul's encounter was pretty dramatic. There was a bright light, there was a loud voice, and then he's given specific directions from the Lord. Now, I don't know about you, but most people don't encounter Jesus in that same exact way in this world. But we do encounter Jesus at some point on our journey to the end of me. If we're going to discover real life in Christ, we come face to face with Jesus. Whether you literally see him or literally hear him or not, every empty to be filled story begins here. Either you meet Jesus because you had nowhere else to turn, or you meet Jesus because you're turning everywhere else and you're still unsatisfied. But for whatever reason, you encounter him. When you encounter Jesus, it's the beginning of the end of me, the end of self. And if you follow his directions from there, it's also the beginning of real life for you. After that beginning encounter with Jesus, we begin to get a new perspective, which leads us to what the Apostle Paul might have called taking out the trash. See, in Philippians 3, verses 4 through 6, Paul, after he's changed his name, he talks about the things that used to be of value to him before his encounter with Jesus. Beginning in verse 4, he says, "Although I myself might have confidence even in the flesh, if anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more. I was circumcised on the eighth day of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness, which is in the law, found blameless." Paul lists all these external measurements having to do with his holiness and his achievement, and even talks about his family lineage and his heritage. But then looking at verses 7 and 8, he uses a pretty strong word to describe it all. He says, it's all rubbish. It's worthless. And in those days, the word that Paul was actually using there was a pretty inflammatory word. He was using a word that would make you blush a little bit. In fact, we wouldn't expect our equivalent of that word to be used in the Bible. But Paul feels so strongly about what used to fill him up and fill up his life that he says, you know what, this is garbage, this is refuse, it's trash. In verse 7, he says, "But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them but rubbish, they are worthless, so that I may gain Christ." After he encountered Jesus, Saul had a change of perspective, which meant that all the things that used to fill him up were now useless to him. And he knew that he had to take out the trash. If we want to be filled up with God, then we need to take out our trash. We need to ask ourselves some questions. What are the things that define you? What are the things that you are most proud of? What are the things that compete with God in your heart for your attention? What are the things that compete in your life that compete with God for your time, for your affections, for your energy? What other than God is sitting on the throne of your heart? Taking out that rubbish, that trash, is crucial if you want God to fill you up. There's no other way. And after God fills you up with himself, he puts you on mission. He saves us on purpose for a purpose. Big idea number 3, being filled up and sent out. Back in Acts chapter 9, verses 10 through 31, and then also chapter 11 through 25, and I'm not going to read all through all that. You can look that up in your own in personal study, and I hope you do. And check that out. But after Paul's blindness is taken away, and after he's baptized into this new way of life, this following Jesus, he spends some time with other believers being filled up. And after that, he immediately begins to preach about Jesus. So Paul's not just emptied of his past, of his old identity, and left alone for the world to fill him back up or redefine who he is. He's not just taking out the trash and then sitting around and hoping that he doesn't accidentally fill up with more trash. Paul gets filled up with the Spirit of Jesus Christ, which means he will live out the mission of Jesus Christ. He's set out to do that, to share the good news of Jesus, to share the good news that Jesus has given us through his death, burial, and resurrection. He's given us the same victory over sin and death. He's done that on our behalf. When Jesus fills you, he fills you for a purpose to share the good news. Sometimes we read the Bible and we think, yeah, that's how it worked for the Apostle Paul, or that's how it works for maybe a super Christian like Billy Graham, but I don't see it happening that way in my life. I don't know that I can confidently say, hey, that's going to work for me. But the people in the Bible when we read about people like Paul, they are just like you, and they are just like me. We're going to hear now from a modern example of being emptied to be filled. Ken Mansfield worked with the Beatles and with several other successful musicians, and he was living the dream. He had a mansion, he had money, a career, status. He was on rock and roll tours, and he had everything that he wanted, but then he suddenly lost it all. And after going from the very peak of his profession to living on the streets for a short time, he tried everything he could to fill up that void in his life. And even at the height of his success, he felt empty. Once he was introduced to Jesus and began following him, Jesus filled him back up, but not with wealth, not with tour buses, not with hit records, not with huge houses, but with himself, with his joy, with Christ peace, with Christ purpose in life. Ken Mansfield now travels all over the country sharing his testimony in churches and in conferences and schools, sharing his testimony and urging people to empty themselves and to be filled up with Christ and to follow him. After following Christ for several years, Ken heard the story about just an amazing story of love, relentless love of God for people. And he speaks of this story. He was in a church in Southern California, a large church, and he was sharing this testimony. The pastor, after Ken had given his testimony, he invited him back up for a question and answer time. And the pastor called on this lady in the back of the auditorium. And the lady said, "When I was a little girl, I went to this incredible church, and we had this wonderful youth program for girls. Every year we'd go away for a whole week, and it was a retreat. And the pastor at the retreat said, 'I'm going to pass around a hat. And in the hat are slips of paper, and on the slips of paper are the names of these very decadent, very immoral young people. You're going to take out a name, and you're going to pray for that person's salvation. And so you know in your heart, or you have empirical knowledge, that this person has come to know the Lord, that they've been saved.' The names in the hat were the names of the Beatles and the people who were with them. This woman said, 'Me and my three girlfriends, we all picked the same name out of this hat, Ken Mansfield.' 'Ken Mansfield? Who's Ken Mansfield?' she said. 'I was going for Paul McCartney. I wanted to pray for Paul McCartney. Every morning,' she said, 'I would open my Bible, and there's that name. I promised, so every day I prayed for that person's salvation. I got into the workplace a few years later. I started getting successful. I didn't have quite as much time for church or for reading the Bible. Eventually, I started having a good time partying. I finally turned my back on the Lord. About a year ago, everything came crashing down. It was awful. And then about a month ago, I suddenly had this feeling that God was tugging at my heart, and he was saying to me, 'My child, do you remember how sweet it was when we used to have those times together at the retreats? Do you remember how good it was when you were walking with me? How special and how peaceful your life was?' This woman said that she woke up one morning shortly after that, and there was an ad in the newspaper, and the ad said that there was a man named Ken Mansfield who used to work with the Beatles, and he's here at this church giving his testimony tonight. And she said, 'I looked at that ad, and it was like it was jumping off the page at me, and God was saying, "Have I ever left you alone? I answered your prayer, didn't I?" And this woman said, "You know, I'm here tonight just to tell you that I'm living for Christ again." Let's hear now from Ken Mansfield.
The Beatles, you know, they had done everything they could do. They couldn't be more number one, so they fancied the idea of being businessmen. They wanted to pool all their resources into one place and take advantage of the income flows from all the different aspects of their career. They set up the record company, a film company, an invention company, which was Madhouse. That thing was crazy. Then the booking agency and the publishing. So they had like five divisions. And so I was the head of the record division in America. I had the old Lash LaRue estate up in Laurel Canyon, which was a big main house and three guest houses. I had the servants, I had the gardener and the cook and the drivers. I had a home on 10 acres of summer home up in Northern California in the Mendocino Coast. Actors and actresses and rock stars and all this kind of stuff in the house at one time. I'd have Ringo Starr and Leonard Nimoy at the house the same night and things like that, you know. A big part of my life, after the Beatles was the outlaw movement when I was producing Waylon and Jesse and Tom Paul and Willie and all those people. And the outlaws made the rock and rollers look like choir boys. I mean, if you want to talk about down and dirty and drugs and a hard, rough life, you know, man, that was it. I always used to call it a separate reality. You get on the tour bus and nothing's real anymore. And then you get home and you go back into family and nothing makes sense. So you're just in two completely different worlds all the time. And I quit taking care of business. So now I'm not getting the hit records anymore. I'm not getting the big projects. So pretty soon the company goes down, takes me down with it. My life totally fell apart. It was such a lonely, empty feeling. I didn't have anything. I was just, all of a sudden, here I am, almost 50 years old, alone. It got to the point to where I was homeless one day. I was desperate. That was the very bottom. I had no place to go, I had no money. And then what I thought was my bottom was because I was just having such a bad time, or I was being punished for being a bad person with all the reasons I thought. But just really God loving me so much that he knew it was time to start emptying all that stuff out so he could put something better in there. And the neat thing about it is, because I was with the Beatles, people say, oh, this guy's got cred, right? I got street cred because I was with the Beatles, and if I was with the Beatles, I must know what I'm doing. And so if I was the Beatles and I say Jesus is cool, then he must be cool because this guy was with the Beatles, right?
It may feel like you've been empty so long that Jesus has forgotten you. It may feel like you're too empty. Jesus won't fill you up. It may feel like the garbage has been with you so long that you can't get rid of it. But Jesus knows your name, and he has a plan for you to give you hope and a future. And he's waiting to fill you up with his spirit. He's waiting to send you out to live for him, filled up with his power and with his love, with his grace. Never, never give up. No matter how empty you feel, no matter how long it's been, no matter how far you've run, no matter how much of your selfishness and self-centeredness has taken over and brought trash into your life, do not give up. God hasn't given up on you. If you're ready to surrender to him and be emptied of the trash in your life, he'll give you something so much better. God's drawing you, whether it's reminding you of something years ago that shows you that he's always been there with you, or maybe it's something that you didn't even know about, maybe a stranger who's been praying for you by name that you didn't even know about, or a family member. God is drawing you to himself, and he wants to fill up your life with his spirit. You can only do that when you're empty of you. If there's anything that you want to be emptied of, so you can experience being filled with more of Christ, if there's any sin that has you prisoner, that has you trapped, and you know that it's time you got free, maybe you know about Jesus, but now you really want to know him. He's just a prayer away, and I'm happy to pray with you also. As someone who was formerly full of my own trash in my life, who was a sinner that was totally given over to sin and the things of this world and has been redeemed and personally received God's forgiveness and mercy and felt the weight of all that lifted from me and experienced his presence and his power in my life and the transformation it makes and the hope and the peace that I have, draw near to him.